بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز ان اسلام, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. دا ملٹی میڈیا ڈپارٹمنٹ آف مرکزی انجمن خدام القرآن لاہور پاکستان پریزنٹس اے اسپیچ آف ڈاکٹر اسرار احمد, دی فاؤنڈر آف مرکزی انجمن خدام القرآن لاہور اینڈ تنظیم اسلامی, آن دی ٹاپک آف شرک. ناؤ پلیز لسن ٹو دی اسپیچ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه, يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم, ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء, وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض, ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في آخر سورة الكهف, قل انما انا بشر مثلكم يوحى الي انما الهكم اله واحد, فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعباده ربه احدا. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وعزنا من شرور أنفسنا, اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه, وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه, آمين يا رب العالمين. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last session, you must be remembering, we completed not only our preliminary discussion about the importance of shirk in Islam, how big an insult it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how heinous a crime it is. But also we discussed the worst form of shirk, the most naked form of shirk, the ugliest form of shirk, that is shirk fi dhat, associating someone or something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in person, personally. Now we proceed to the second kind of shirk, and that is shirk fi sifat, assigning the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anything or anybody, anyone, either quantitatively or qualitatively. Now this question and this issue is quite tricky. It's quite difficult also. And if someone is not cautious enough, maybe he falls in the trap. Why? Because due to the limitation of our vocabulary, we use the same words when we talk about attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same words are used as adjectives for creatures, for human beings, for example. Ilm, Allah is alim. A man is also alim. He may be allama. You know this word? Allama. The same word. Allah is allamul ghuyub. And we say, use the same word, allama, for a human being. We are also living creatures. Allah is the living, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Life is common between us and Allah. We also see, Allah also sees. We also hear. Allah is also Sami'. So the words are common. All the words we use as attributes or adjectives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as for the creatures. For the created as well as the creator. The words are the same. We are also maujood and he is maujood. We exist and he exists. He is qadir and we also have some qudrat, some power, some authority. So all these words are common. But, mind you, when we use these words as attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they mean something else. Absolutely different meaning they have. And when we use these words for human beings, for example, or for the malaika, or for the jinnat, or for any other creature, the meanings are absolutely different. Words are the same. Connotations are widely apart. There's a world of difference between the two. Now please note what are the differences. Three. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was forever and will remain forever. He is Qadeem and Baqi. All the creation, all the creatures, they were not before they were created. They have a beginning in time. They are hadith. And they are fani. Just as this difference between Allah, the creator, and whole of this universe, the created. This is the basic difference. In the same way, all the bad attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed ever, forever. They were with Him always. And they are to remain with Him always. No beginning, no end of His attributes. While the attributes, while sifat for us, they are hadith, they are fani. Allah doesn't owe His existence to anybody else. He exists on His own. In the same way, all His attributes are His own, not given to Him by anybody else. While we owe our existence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, all the sifat of all the creatures are given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not their own. We call it in Arabic, Zati and Atai. Whatsoever we have has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, it is His own, not given to Him by anybody else. In the same way, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His being, is absolute, infinite. No limits, no boundaries, no bounds whatsoever. And so are His attributes. His attributes are absolute, infinite. Have no limits. We don't have in our language any word to express it, except He knows everything. He owns everything. He can do everything. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. These are the only expressions that we have. But technically we shall say, just like His own being, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His being is infinite, absolute. His attributes are also infinite and absolute. Boundless, limitless. Why? Our attributes, the same words used for any creation, any creature, just as their existence is limited, it is finite, their attributes are also finite and limited. These are the three main differences. Words are common. But the same word when used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these three concepts attached to it. And with that very word when used for anybody else, maybe a jinn, maybe a malak, the angel, human being, even prophets, even awliya Allah, even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the attributes which they have, they are limited, given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not their own. They are hadith, not qadim. So these are the three main differences which we must keep in mind. And if we are not cautious, we may confuse the two. Now, let me give you an example. We call it in Urdu Qudrat, in Arabic Qudrah. The authority, the power is all powerful. We also have some authority. We have also some powers. But if you compare the authority and power of Allah to the power and authority that we have, there can be no ratio between the finite and the infinite. Compared to Allah, we have no power at all. And these are the words in the prayer of Istikhara. Many of you might be remembering, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba say that he taught us this prayer of Istikhara just as he taught us the ayat of Quran. And in that we have فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. You have the authority, you have the power. I don't have any authority, any power. Although we have some, limited, given by him to us. But if you compare the authority that I have, you have, the power that you have and I have, if you compare them to the authority and power of Allah, it is zero. In the same way, ilm, knowledge, فَوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ هُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He is all powerful, he is omnipotent. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. He knows everything. We also know something. But compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our knowledge is nil, limited. And only as much he gave to us. I just recited, you know, the famous ayah. It is called Ayatul Kursi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reported to have said that this ayah is the Sayyidatu Ayatul Quran. It's the, you know, what should be the translation of Sayyidah, the chief ayah of the Quran, the biggest. And this actually deals with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. He is the living. Now life, you know, hayat, it is another attribute. We are also living. But our life, we call it in Urdu hayat-e-musta'ar, it's borrowed. He gave us. لائی حیات آئے قضا لے چلی چلے اپنی خوشی سے آئے نہ اپنی خوشی چلے. This is our life. He can take it any time, any moment. He can take it back. And then our life needs food, needs rest, needs sleep. But what is the life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. His life is not overpowered by sleepiness. Don't confuse your life with his life. Don't guess his life upon your own life. Hell of difference between the life of the living beings we have here and the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But haya, the word is common. So these are the three examples. And we have, you know, in the same dua istikhara, the prayer of istikhara, فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ وَلَا عَلَمُ. Oh Allah, you know, and I don't know. I gave you yesterday the ayah. It is from Surah Al-Baqarah. أَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. Maybe you dislike something. It's unpleasant to you. But it is good for you. You don't know it. On the contrary, maybe you love something, you like something. While it is harmful for you, it's not good for you. شَرٌ لَكُمْ. It's bad for you, it's injurious for you, it's harmful for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows that you don't know. There's another very beautiful ayah in Surah Bani Israel. وَيَدُوا الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. It so often happens, and we call it so often happens, that a man is praying for something good according to his own thinking. But that thing is not good for him. So he is praying for something bad for him. وَيَدُوا الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. According to his own idea, he is praying for something which is good for him. While actually it is not good for him, it is bad for him. So just imagine, he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant for him something which is bad for him. So this is the condition of our knowledge. So that is actually the differentiation, this distinction must always be kept in mind. This solves many problems. You know, one of the very big controversies among our religious people, you know, sects, is whether Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had any knowledge of ghaib or not. It's a very controversial, you know, discussion. When I went and approached some of those, you know, who are very well known as Ahlul Bid'ah and who believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the knowledge of ghaib, the unseen, I asked them directly the question, what's your position actually? Let me know. He said, we admit that the knowledge of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was limited. It was given to him, it was not his own. It was hadith, not qadeem. I said then, I don't have any difference with you. If you accept these teachings, it's not for us to decide whether Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew something or not. We don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a lot of knowledge which we don't know. And the prophethood essentially is based on some knowledge of the ghaib. The Jannah, the paradise is ghaib for us. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown that Jannah on the night of Isra, didn't he? Jahannam is ghaib for us. But it was shown to him. Even in this world, you know. Once he was praying for rain, what happened? He stepped forward involuntarily, and then, you know, he just moved back. The Sahaba asked after the prayer was over, what was this? Is it an integral part of the prayer? We should do it like that? No. When I was praying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Jannah before me. And involuntarily my head, you know, that went forward to get some fruit of the Jannah for you. And then the fire of hell was brought before me. And due to the heat, I had to turn back, move back. So this happened in this world. But to speak of Mi'raj, the ascension. So here, you know, the Malaika, they are ghaib for us. But he saw Jibreel, didn't he? وَلَقَدْ رَعَاهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ وَلَقَدْ رَعَاهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. But you know, not all ghaib, limited ghaib. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give him, he gave him. A prophet is a prophet because some of the knowledge of the ghaib is given to him. Otherwise he is only a human being like me and you. So actually there is nothing very difficult in this question. But the ghaib that was given to him was limited. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. It's only Allah who knows everything of the heavens and the earth. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. All the creatures, whether they are angels, whether they are prophets, whether they are messengers of Allah, whether they are awliya Allah, or whosoever he is, they cannot have any knowledge except that which is given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Tawheed. So people have made it a very big issue, a very controversial issue. It stands solved. Just dissolved. Just disappears. No issue at all. And now let me come to the most important topic. I want to say something about Wahdatul Wujud. What is actually Wahdatul Wujud? Most of the Sufia of Islam who believe in Wahdatul Wujud, what's their position actually? I said in my discussion about the shirk fi zat, their pantheism is kufr, is shirk of the highest order. Wahdatul Wujud is something else. What is that? The position of these Sufia, these mystics and philosophers of Islam, is that compared to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this universe doesn't exist. It's imaginary. It's not real. Just as compared to the Qudra of Allah, power and authority of Allah, our power and authority is nil, zero. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Compared to the knowledge of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, our knowledge is zero. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا عَلَمُ. In the same way, the existence, real existence, belongs to Him and Him alone. This is what the Muslim philosophers call وَاجِبُ الْوُجُودُ. His wujud is wajib, necessary being. While all the others who appear to exist actually are non-existent. There's a very beautiful couplet in Arabic. كُلُّ مَا فِي الْقَوْنِ بَهْمٌ أَوْ خِيَالٌ أَوْ عُقُوسٌ فِي الْمَرَايَا أَوْ ظِلَالٌ. These are all shadows, transient shadows which we are seeing. They really don't exist. Shaykh Ahmad Sahundi rahimahullah has given a very beautiful example. If you take, you know, a good, and then you tie some cloth to one end, and put some kerosene oil, and then you set it to fire. Now you have a flame, burning flame. It's one flame. But now you give this wood a circle, encircling, with a speed. The observer will see a circle of fire. He will see with his eyes a circle of fire. While you know the circle doesn't exist. It's only one flame of fire, not the circle. So this universe, all the creation, appears to exist. Actually they don't exist. Only Allah has the true and real existence. This is the position. You may differ with it. It's not essential that you agree with them. But, please don't confuse it with pantheism. Pantheism means this is real and this is Allah. And this Wahdatul Wujud, the unity of being, says this is not real, this is imaginary. Mahmun or khayalun or ukusun fil maraya. There's a mirror, you stand in front of it and you find that you are there also. You are not there. You are only in front of the mirror. But you are seeing that there also you are existing there. Ukusun fil maraya. These are images in the mirrors. All they are, they are shadows and nothing more. So this is actually the position taken by some of the Sufia, but many of the Sufia. Nearly all of the Sufia. You may disagree, but this is not kufr. This is not shirk. Let's differentiate between pantheism and this Wahdatul Wujud. Now, regarding this shirk fi sifat, the biggest shirk of our modern time is materialism. Analyze it. What is materialism? But please note, the materialism of the Newtonian era, not of the Einstein era. The Newtonian era has ended in physics, but generally 99% people today also are living in that very era intellectually. Mr. Guy Eaton, you know, he's a very big intellectual, Muslim intellectual, an Englishman converted to Islam, Abdul Hakim is his Islamic name. He came over here. Some of you must have heard him. I invited him to Lahore from our Barkaz Engineer Saddam al Quran annual lectures. He delivered 4 lectures. And I was astonished. He said, don't think that people in the West, they live in the Einstein era. Most of the people, you know, they are living still in the Newtonian era of physics. The masses are there. They have not understood. But change has occurred in the realm of physics. So what was the basic materialism of the Newtonian era? Matter is indestructible. Properties of matter are permanent. Laws of nature are permanent. So, we have all the reliance, all the faith, all the tawakkul, all the dependence on matter. We have iman on matter, not on Allah. We are satisfied if we have the material means with us. We are at a loss, then the material means are not with us. Because we don't think Allah can give any help directly without these material means. If you analyze your own attitude in life, we have tawakkul on matter, material means. We don't have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We depend on matter. And you know, one of the biggest manifestations for the theologians in Islam has been of this kufr, of this shirk, that they denied the miracles. They wanted to have physical and scientific explanations of miracles. Well, fire, this is the property of the fire that it burns. No human man, no human being can live in fire. How could it happen that Abraham was put in fire and was not burnt? No. You are mistaken. This couldn't happen. Water keeps its surface. It's the law of nature. It's permanent. It couldn't have happened that Moses just struck water, the ocean, with his staff, and the ocean split into two. No. It was, you know, the tiding, the rising tide and the lower ebb of the tide. No. It was not the breaking into two parts of the ocean itself. This was the position taken by Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan in India. And this is the position taken by many of our others. They believe in the physical laws, in the laws of the nature, the laws of chemical and physical change. They believe that the properties of matter are permanent. They believe that matter is the real thing. This materialism, you know, this is the biggest shirk of our time. And just peep into your hearts and your minds, you will find, you know, this shirk has permeated our thinking, our value structure, our attitude in life. Everything has been polluted by this type of shirk. This is shirk sifat. Now please come to the final. Shirk al-huquq. To make someone or something partner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his rights, in his privileges, in his authority, in his status. This is shirk fil huquq. Now what are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is one word in Islam, in Quran, which comprises all the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is ibadah. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. The shirk fil ibadah. Because all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who were sent, they exhorted people. They called people to what? أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْعًا. Worship and obey Allah only. And don't make anything or anyone partner equal to him. Or the call of the messengers has been given, أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Worship Allah and Allah alone. Be bondsmen to Allah and Allah alone. And you have no other ilah except Allah. Or the call of the messengers has been, Ani'budullah wa ati'un. Every messenger demanded two things. Worship Allah, have ibadah of Allah, and ati'un. Obey me. What Allah demands of you. What He has made haram, what He has declared permissible. And then you know I have quoted the last ayah of Suratul Kahf. It denies first of all, repudiates that shirk to zat by saying, proclaim O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whosoever hopes, please wake him up. Whosoever hopes that he will go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should do good deeds, and he should not make anybody, include anybody, join anybody in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then lastly the ayah, which I think most of you must be remembering, وَمَا خَلَقْتِ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created all the jinns and all the humans except that they should do ibadah, they should make ibadah to me. I'm keeping the word ibadah because now I'm going to explain what ibadah is actually. And now this one thing will split into five. Just as you know, there is a bud of a flower. It has the leaves, but you can't see them. Then it unfolds and the leaves are apparent. So this word, one word, is like a bud. This ibadah, there are five leaves now. What are they? Number one, total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total obedience. Abd means the slave, the bondsman. Ibadah is to behave as a slave and bondsman to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the duty of the slave or the bondsman to obey his master. You have to obey. That's all. And this obedience has to be total. I gave you the ayah yesterday. That partial obedience is no obedience at all. It will be thrown back, you know, on the faces of the people who think they are obeying Allah, if it is partial. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. I'm not going to translate it now. So total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the essential integral part of ibadah. Rather, it is the major part of ibadah. Just like, you know, this body, and we have life in it. The size and weight is of the body. The whole size and weight of ibadah is obedience. And corresponding to the life is the muhabbah. That the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about which I will talk later. First let us finish with this first, and that is total obedience. Now please, take from me, it's not from me actually, it's from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is, لا تعطى لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There can be no obedience to any of the makhluq, the creatures, which implies a disobedience of Allah. The rule is, you can obey your elders, your parents, your teachers, your mentors, your rulers, but within the limits of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you obey anyone, which implies disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which exceeds the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have made him shariq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Made him equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is muta, the obeyed one, and there is another one who is obeyed one. All obediences should be at the lower level. The obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the overall obedience covering all the human life. Is it clear? Allah doesn't say don't obey. Why should obey the husband? But not in Masiya. If the husband says something which is wrong according to Sharia, the wife should say, if she is a mu'mina, La sama walata, I won't listen, I won't obey. You should obey your parents. وَوَسَيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ But if they say, they'll ask you to do shirk, to commit something which is haram, no obedience at all. لَا تَعَتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَاسْيَةِ الْخَالِقِ You can obey, but within those limits of the Sharia, not beyond that. Now let me give you the beginning and the end of it. The beginning of this shirk is, if you obey your own nafs, your own animal instinct, in something that is which is haram, you have made your own nafs equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the worst shirk that we are doing. The Quran says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ Have you seen, have you noted the persons who have made their own lusts, their own carnal desires, their ilah? They are proclaiming La ilaha illallah, but they are obeying their nafs in haram. The desire is emerging from the depths of your id or libido for something which is haram. You know it is haram. Allah has forbidden it. You set aside the command of Allah and Sharia, you obey your nafs. Who is your Lord now? Is it Allah or your nafs? This is the shirk. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ Have you noted? The person who has made his own lust, his own desire, his Lord, ilah. He is saying La ilaha illallah while he has made his own nafs his ilah. Start from here, and the biggest shirk of our time is the concept of human sovereignty. The corollary, necessary corollary of Tawheed is إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ لَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ There is no partner unto him. He is the ruler. Sovereignty belongs to him and him alone. سروری زیبا فقط اس ذات بے ہمتا کو ہے حکمران ہے ایک وہی باقی بتانے حاضری Whosoever claims sovereignty for himself, he is claiming Godhead. He is claiming to be God himself. This was the claim of Firaun. Alaysa li mulku Misr. I am the ruler of Egypt. My commands will be enforced. The word which comes out of my mouth becomes law. I don't know who is Allah. I don't know what he has made permissible and what he has declared haram, forbidden. I don't know. What is this? This is the shirk of the highest order. The same shirk has taken the form of democracy based on the principle of popular sovereignty. What's the difference? A single person claiming sovereignty, a whole nation claiming sovereignty. The sin is the same, the shirk is the same, the kufr is the same. Because sovereignty belongs to him alone. It might be a person, it might be a nation, it might be the whole humanity. Sovereignty belongs to him. Al-Malik, he is Al-Malik, he is the ruler. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir. وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ عَادَى is not ready to associate and to make anybody partner in his this authority of ruling. So this is what shirk fil ita'ah. Shirk fil ita'ah starting from obeying your own nafs for something which is haram, forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it goes to the concept of the highest political concept that the humanity has achieved, of which we boast. And this is the shirk of the first order. Popular sovereignty. It's the kufr, it's the shirk. Now come to the other leaf, other petal of the flower of ibadah. What is that? Muhabba, love, hub. This obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be out of intense love for Him. This is like the ruh. This is like the life. This whole body is of ibadah, is made of ita'ah. And the ruh, the spirit of ibadah, that is muhabba, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is no love, there is no ibadah actually. You are slaves. We were slaves to the Britishers. But we were not worshipping them. But when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of intense love. Now what is the rule here? Does it mean that you cannot love anybody? No. You can love your sons, your daughters, your parents, your country, your home. Life should and can love the husband, and the husband should and can love the wife. All loves are permissible. But the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should remain above all the loves. If you love anybody equal to Allah or more than Allah, you are committing shirk with Him. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. This is the necessary prerequisite of iman. أَشَدُّ. Strongest love should be for Allah. You can have love for wealth, but below, at a lower level than the love for Allah. And I gave you the ayah, you know, the most decisive ayah in this respect. This is ayah number 24 of Surah At-Tawbah. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the love within your hearts for your parents, for your sons and daughters, for your wives, for your brothers, for your kitchen kin, your relatives, for your wealth which you have gathered, for the buildings which you very much adore and like, and for the business which you have, you know, established, these eight loves, you must have a balance in your heart, an imaginary balance, visualize a balance. On one side of the balance you put these eight loves, and on the other side, love for Allah, love for His Messenger, and love for jihad for the cause of Allah. Now see, this side is going down. If the love for all these eight things are more than the love for these three things, then go away. Fatarabbasu, sit there and wait till we decide your fate. Fatarabbasu hatta yati Allahu bi amri, wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqin. Allah is not going to lead these fasiqin to the right path. Is it clear? Love everything. Love thyself. But love Allah more. Then love of Allah and love of the Messenger, they are bracketed together. And love for jihad fi sabilillah is also the third thing bracketed there. You know, these five things All the nearest relations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has counted here. Your father, your sons, your wife, your brothers, your relatives. Then all the three things, your property, your business, and your wealth. Eight. On the one side, love for Allah, love for His messenger, love for jihad, for His cause. On the other side, now see, which one is more? Now if this is the formula, now let me give you again the beginning and the end. What's the beginning? The love for wealth. Can you forget the halal or haram? Who is your God? Wealth. The only difference is that the Hindu is also worshipping a Devi, Lakshmi Devi. But he worships the Lakshmi Devi for the sake of wealth. You are not placing any Devi before you, but you are straight off worshipping the wealth. There's no difference whatsoever. And I am not saying it. It's the saying of the Prophet. Ta'asa abdu dinar wa abdu dirham. The name is Abdul Rahman. Actually he is Abdul Dinar. Because dinar is more lovable for him than the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Name is Abdullah. He is Abdul Dirham. Name is Abdul Rahim. He is Abdul Dirham. Because he loves dirham. The darahim and danarir, they are loved more than the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can put aside the commands, the distinction between halal and haram, due to the love of this wealth. Taisa abdul dinar wa abdul dirham. Go to the person who is worshipping dinar and go to the person who is worshipping dirham. And nobody, you know, prostrated himself before dirham or dinar. What is the worship of dirham or dinar? That you ignore the Allah's commands out of love for wealth. And what's the top of it? Love of your nation, love of your country, what you call nationalism. Whatever is beneficial for my nation, my country is correct. It might be wrong, but it is correct. Principles changing. For your own country, for your own nation, you have different set of moral rules and moral conduct. And for other countries and other nations, you have a different set of rules and conduct. What is it? It means the love of nation, or love of land, or love of country. Actually, it has exceeded the love for truth, the love for justice. And they are actually the love for Allah. This nationalism, this is the shirk of this day. This principle of popular sovereignty is the shirk of this day. Come to the third. Prayer, dua. The hadith says, Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah, Ad-du'a huwal ibadah. Whomsoever you are praying, invoking his help. One help is according to the physical laws. I ask you, give me a tumbler of water. It's also I'm asking for help. But asking for help from some unseen, from those who have died. If you pray to anybody, if you ask for help from anybody, except Allah, in the unseen, it is the shirk of the highest order. لا تدعو مع الله احدا. Prayers can be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't pray anybody else. No nusra, no application. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. The isti'ana, the istinsar, the istighasa. These are the words of Arabic. Should be from Allah and Allah only. None else. You know, we know there are angels here. Everyone of us has two angels within. But we can't call them for help. Can we? No. It becomes shirk. Can we know they are here? Call Allah. He will listen to your prayer. He will help you. He can help without angels even, without any physical beings. Or he may send some angel. Or he may, you know, produce some intention in some human being, go and help my bondsman. But you can pray only to Allah and none else. Because this is the essence of ibadah. Ad-du'a dukhul ibadah, essence of ibadah. Number four, there are certain modes of worship to glorify Allah. And most important is prostration before somebody. This is exclusive for Allah. Even qunut is also not liked. If you stand, you know, somewhat bowing before somebody, it's also a sort of prayer. Forbidden. I told you, the Prophet didn't like anybody to stand out of respect for him. But you know, at least the sajda, this prostration, it is haram and mutlaq, with no intention. Before the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was permissible, it was allowed to bow to a certain extent when you meet somebody out of respect for him. But now, the deen, when it has been completed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةِ وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, any form of prostration, all forms of prostration, except for Allah, are haram mutlaq. Last of all, but not the least, the condition of ibadah to be acceptable to Allah is ikhlas. It should be exclusively for Allah. If you have joined somebody else also, this is what we call riya and suma. Doing something good to show to the people. You want that other people should listen. Well, he is a very great scholar, no doubt. Well, he is a very pious person. This riya and suma, it is the big zero. This will multiply with the any amount of ibadah you have made and reduce it to zero. It is the shirk. The Prophet said, I had in the very beginning quoted the hadith, Man salla yurai faqad ashraka, wa man sama yurai faqad ashraka, wa man tasaddaqa yurai faqad ashraka. Whosoever is praying to show to the people, whosoever is fasting to show to the people, whosoever is doing charity, giving alms to the poor, the needy, making sadaqa, but to show off his generosity, well, he has committed shirk. And you know, this shirk can be as imperceptible. The example has been given, the simile, you know, given by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that to see this shirk-e-khafi, which is in riya, to recognize it is as difficult as seeing a black ant moving on a black stone on a dark night. The night is dark. The stone is black. And a black ant is moving on it. Can you see it? Just as it is difficult to see that ant, you can't see shirk-e-khafi. This is here. I quoted the couplet from Allama Iqbal, Barahimi nazar paida magar mushkil se hoti hai, habis chup chup ke seeno mein bana leti hai tasveerein. There are mandirs here, there are temples here, there are idols here, worshipping wealth, worshipping glory, worshipping power, worshipping, you know, reputation, worshipping money, worshipping your own based on the animal desires, the carnal desires. This is the shirk. Beware of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the full understanding, the comprehensive understanding of what shirk is. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage to give up all forms of shirk. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin wal muslimat.
Dear brothers and sisters, please note our contact for audio and video speeches of Dr. Sar Ahmad. Maktaba Khuddamul Quran, Quran Academy, 36K Model Town, Lahore, Pakistan. Phone 9242 586 9501. 586-9502 and 586-9503. Our fax is 583-4000. You can send your emails on info@tanzeem.org. May Allah bless us with the understanding of Islam and give us the courage to act upon it. Ameen.